Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Farron Cousins. Coming up on today's show, Fox News is in a heap of trouble with the Dominion voting system's defamation lawsuit against them. A filing last week reveals that multiple Fox hosts and Fox executives knew that they were peddling lies, but they did it anyway. Marjorie Taylor Greene made waves this week on President's Day when she called for a national divorce, then decided to double down on Tuesday by actually laying out her plan on how to break up the United States once and for all. Rick Scott has now backtracked on his plan to sunset Social Security and Medicare after immense published backlash from both Democrats and Republicans. And of course, Donald Trump's legal problems continue to get so much worse. I'll bring you all the details on that. And don't forget, you can get the full show every week. Go sign up and become a member at ROFpodcast.com. And for Ring of Fire every single day of the week, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. All right, we got to start today, of course, with the very bad news happening for Fox News. Last Thursday, Dominion Voting Systems, as part of their ongoing $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News, they made a 192-page court filing that essentially laid out every single piece of evidence that they have. And of course, this is a public filing. So we got to see exactly what kind of communications were happening between the hosts at Fox News. We got to see the memos, the emails, the conversations with executives, the text messages. Everything is now out there in the ether. And if this filing is any indication, I don't think Fox News has a legal leg to stand on. So you may have already heard of some of the things talked about in these text messages. Let me read just a couple of them that really tell a pretty good story here. You have one from Tucker Carlson who says, "Sidney Powell is lying, by the way. I caught her. It's insane." Laura Ingraham said, "Sidney is a complete nut. No one will work with her. Ditto for Rudy Giuliani." Tucker Carlson responded, because they were texting with each other, "It's unbelievably offensive to me. Our viewers are good people, and they believe it." So he's kind of admitting there, one, of course, the obvious, that, yeah, we know these people are lying, but we're going to keep pushing this crap anyway. He then says, "Our viewers are basically so gullible because they're just such trusting, good people. They're going to believe anything we tell them. So we got to be careful what we tell them." And then you go and you spread election lies. The real irony here is that on the day this court filing was made, last Thursday, so this comes out Thursday, middle of the day, everybody gets to see it. We understand just how corrupt and incompetent the folks at Fox News are. That evening, like that very evening after these text messages were revealed, Tucker Carlson goes on the air. He doesn't address the text messages at all, but he continues to cast doubt on the results of the 2020 presidential election. Like, dude, we already caught you earlier in the day saying you didn't believe any of this, calling these people nuts, saying that you personally caught them lying about it. And here you are over 2 years later on the day you're exposed, still pushing it. Why? As you said, your audience will believe it. They're a bunch of gullible little dummies, aren't they, Tucker? And you know it. That's why you push this crap. In the text messages that were revealed, Tucker Carlson also got exceptionally angry with a Fox News reporter, Jackie Heinrich, who got on Twitter and actually fact-checked a claim from Donald Trump. And Tucker Carlson was furious about that, a Fox News reporter saying that, Trump was lying. So Tucker Carlson texts Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham in a group text, and Carlson says, quote, "Please get her fired. Seriously, what the F? I'm actually shocked. It needs to stop immediately, like tonight. It's measurably hurting the company. The stock price is down. Not a joke." So you wanted a reporter fired for doing what a reporter is supposed to do. I know that's novel for Fox News. God forbid somebody at that network actually fact check anybody. But that's what real reporters are supposed to do, Tucker. You don't fire them for that. You commend them for it. But nope, the truth has no place at Fox News. It has no place in the mouths of Fox News reporters. So Tucker Carlson wanted this woman fired for telling the truth. There's also other text messages. Okay, one from Sean Hannity who says, that whole narrative that Sidney was pushing, I did not believe it for 1 second. Carlson also referred to Sidney Powell as, quote, an unguided missile, said she was dangerous as hell. It goes on and on. And I got more on Sidney Powell in just a moment because it gets even nuttier if you can believe that. But let's look for just 1 second at where Fox News stands as a legal entity. I've only read you, you know, 3 or 4 of these text messages. There's countless. Not only that, Dominion had also revealed a couple months ago in a court filing that the then CEO of Fox News had issued a statement basically to the other folks at the network saying, we can't let the crazies win. She called them crazies in her message. And she was talking about the narrative that they were pushing that the 2020 election was somehow stolen. So Dominion already has the CEO of the network basically on the record saying, we know this is fake, don't let them do it. The hosts we now have on the record in their own messages telling each other, this is bull crap. We know it's bull crap. It's all fake. It's all lies. And each time, you can go back and look at the timestamps on the text messages, they would go on their programs either that night or the next night and push those lies. In terms of defamation, and at one point they do admit, that it's good. It's good for business. In fact, that's actually from Fox News Senior Vice President Bill Salmon told colleague political editor Chris Steirewalt, quote, it's remarkable how weak ratings make good journalists do bad things. So they're basically admitting that, hey, Fox, our ratings suck. What can we do? Let's push the lies. That is the proof that Dominion needs to prove their defamation claims. Think about this for a second. A lot of people don't quite understand how defamation, slander, libel, all that stuff works. It's not just that somebody told a lie or somebody said something that was incorrect. You cannot just sue because of that. First and foremost, you got to show that not only did they lie, but there was actual malice. That is the legal term, actual malice, meaning they lied intentionally. They knew it was a lie. They said it anyway to hurt you. But even that alone is not enough. Okay? Because it can't just be that they told a lie about me. The second thing that the group defamed has to prove is that they suffered actual real loss as a result of the defamation. Or that the group doing the defaming had a material gain because of the defamation. So you have to prove that you either lost or they got something for defaming you. And right here, based on this 192-page court filing last week, I think Dominion just proved their case without a shadow of a doubt. You showed one that they knew it was lies and they did it anyway. You showed number two that they were complaining about the weak ratings and they knew what they had to do to boost those ratings. So they had a material gain. At the same time, Dominion claims they have lost contracts with states over this defamation. So that is a material loss for Dominion. The only smart move for Fox News right now is to settle. And honestly, I don't think Dominion would accept a settlement below the lawsuit price of $1.6 billion. But even for Fox News, I think you ought to say, you know what, you want $1.6 billion? We'll give you $1.6 billion. Because the damage this is going to continue to do to your network is going to be extreme. Because we're only getting a taste of this right now. I hope everybody understands that. We're just getting a little bitty taste. If this thing goes to trial, we're going to find out so much more. And it's not just going to be bad for the executives and bad for Rupert Murdoch and Lachlan Murdoch and all those creeps. It's going to be bad for the hosts on the network. Each and every one of them is going to be exposed. We will see more text messages. We will see more emails and private conversations. We will see deposition clips. And if Fox News doesn't want those to see the light of day because they will haunt them forever, then your only option is to settle. I really don't think Fox News has a chance to win this lawsuit. I honest to God do not think they can win this at all. Based on the evidence that Dominion put forward last week, I think Fox News is totally screwed. I could be wrong. You know, Fox News says that even Dominion had said, oh no, there's bugs in the machines. Okay, but that's not really what y'all said, so I don't think that's a good defense. They have said that we were just reporting on what was newsworthy of the day. Nah, your own text messages show that you knew it wasn't newsworthy, so there goes that argument. And then, of course, the third argument is, well, we got freedom of speech here in the United States. Yeah, but you don't have freedom to defame. So there's that. Again, I don't see how Fox News moves forward. And another thing, and this to me is really the icing on the cake of what we learned from those documents filed in court last week. Sidney Powell, you know, the former Trump lawyer, the one who said, you know, ghosts of Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela somehow affected the election. You didn't think it could get any crazier than that, did you? Well, it did. Because Sidney Powell forwarded an email to Fox News host Maria Bartiromo. And the email claims to be from a woman who says that she is a decapitated time traveler who has evidence of voter fraud. None of what I just said is exaggerated. That is literally what this email said. I'm going to read you this email, or a piece of it, that this time traveler sent to Sidney Powell, who then forwarded it to Fox News host Maria Bartiromo. Here it is. And again, she claims she has all this evidence of voter fraud, and here's how she knows that. Quote, who am I, and how do I know all of this? I've had the strangest dreams since I was a little girl. I was internally decapitated, and yet I live. The wind tells me I'm a ghost, but I don't believe it. She then said that she is a time traveler, or she's able to time travel in a semi-conscious state. Powell forwards this email to Fox News host Maria Bartiromo. Bartiromo, in her deposition, said that she knew the email was nonsense. However, a night or two after she had gotten this email from Sidney Powell, she brought Sidney Powell on the air to spread election lies. They didn't talk about the email. They didn't talk about the, you know, internally decapitated semi-conscious time traveler. They didn't mention any of that, but they did mention the election lies. So even though Bartiromo says she knew it was nonsense, you know, expressed skepticism about this individual sending her the email, she still said, but you know what? Let's bring her on the air anyway and spread more lies. But I also want you to think of something else for a moment. You have a lawyer, an individual that went to law school, that has passed the bar, that gets an email from an individual saying, hello there, I am a internally decapitated semi-conscious time traveler, and I have evidence of voter fraud. Now, any normal lawyer in the country is going to take that email and either click delete, or they're going to forward it around to their friends, laugh about it for a moment, and then delete it. No good lawyer in this country, and I know because I've worked around the best of them for 20 years now, none of them are going to take it seriously. It's going to be joked about in the office for possibly years. But not Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell read those words that I just read to you and said, yeah, that sounds legit. Oh, I'd better get this to Maria Bartiromo. I think it's seriously time for any state where Sidney Barr is licensed to practice law. I think it's time to take a good hard look at that and revoke her law license. If she cannot distinguish evidence and facts from pure fantasy from people who are clearly not well, then you shouldn't be practicing law and you're a danger to the entire legal profession. That really sincerely is the issue here. Like, not only was Sidney Powell lying, but she's relying on people who need help. Like, that's what she should have done. Instead of forwarding that email to Maria Bartiromo, they should have reached out to this woman and said, hey, can you come into the office? We want to talk to you. We want to help you. Okay, we want to get you the help that you need. We want you to talk to some professionals, and let's go from there. But let's help you instead of looking at it and saying, oh boy, we got them. But that is exactly what Sidney Powell did. And moving on, I know we've been talking about crazy with Sidney Powell, so let's talk about crazy with a sitting member of Congress. How about Marjorie Taylor Greene this week, on President's Day of all days, calling for a national divorce? Now, as we all know, Marjorie Taylor Greene herself is currently going through a divorce, so apparently she thinks the entire country also needs to go through a divorce, maybe to feel the same pain that she is feeling. But either way, she got on Twitter on Monday and said, we need a national divorce, yada, yada, yada. Well, she took a lot of heat for that. Even Mitt Romney came out and said this was loony. So then, rather than just letting it go and saying, okay, well, maybe that idea didn't land, I'll just move on, although it's not the first time she suggested it. She did it again last summer. Instead of letting it go, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, of course, is actually gaining power in the House of Representatives, on Tuesday actually laid out the plan of how this would work. So she not only doubled down, she let us know that apparently this is something she's been thinking about for a long time, and she has a plan. Now let me read you her plan, and you tell me if it sounds familiar, because here is what she put on Twitter in a multi-tweet thread on Tuesday. Why the left and right should consider a national divorce, not a civil war, but a legal agreement to separate our ideological and political disagreements by states while maintaining our legal union. Tragically, I think we, the left and right, have reached irreconcilable differences. She then said that she was, quote, absolutely disgusted and fed up with the left cramming and forcing their ways on us and our children with no respect for our religion and faith, traditional values, and economic and government policy beliefs. Now, before I continue, I hope everybody listening to this understands that that is pure projection and gaslighting, because it is not the left that is forcing their religious views on people. That would be the right, Marjorie. We're not forcing our beliefs on anyone. We're literally fighting for our rights to even have beliefs to begin with, because they're under attack. Our ideas are under attack. Our people are under attack. Your party is the one passing laws saying, women, you can't decide what to do with your own health choices because this book I pretend to have read says, I think, that you can't do this. It actually doesn't. But that's your religion being imposed on literally everybody else. You also have laws banning books. That's not made up. That is something y'all are doing. You have books targeting the LGBTQ community, targeting drag queens. An Oklahoma bill this week specifically wants to just outlaw drag time story hour because the drag queens wear flamboyant makeup. You can read it. I tweeted out the piece of the legislation on my Twitter feed. Like, that's literally why. Like, oh, your makeup is too heavy. Yeah, so it's not the left that's doing these things, Marjorie. It's your party. But anyway, she continues. A national divorce would require a much smaller federal government with more power given to the states. Hence, we would solve our debt and spending problems immediately. Okay, looks like somebody hasn't watched Hamilton. Because, yeah, the states were actually really, really bad with money, and that's why we had to have, you know, the Treasury Department kind of take over, and that's how we raise taxes, why we raise taxes, and it solved a lot of problems. So learn a little bit of history before you suggest breaking up the United States, you fine individual. Of course, interstate trade, travel, and state relations would continue. However, in red states, they could have different rules about store product placement on national store shelves. In red states, I highly doubt Walmart could place sex toys next to children's toothbrushes. So before I continue, let me go ahead and debunk this part. Walmart doesn't even sell sex toys. Not that I've looked. But Walmart, I mean, you're talking about a store that, you know, God almighty, they used to not even carry CDs that carried the explicit content warning on them. They used to not carry most R-rated movies, and you had to show ID to get them. They're not selling sex toys, and they're certainly not next to the children's toothbrushes. Again, she's gaslighting us here. And if Walmart did sell sex toys, and that's where you're getting your sex toys, you may need to rethink some of your decisions in life. But she continues. And in blue states, they would immediately disarm their citizens, of course, because those bad guns get up and kill people by themselves all the time. In a national divorce, the left could achieve their dreams of total and complete lawlessness. Yeah, lawlessness by not having people shoot each other. That's a new one. I hadn't thought of that, you person. I keep wanting to just call her a dumbass, and I guess I'm just going to call her a dumbass from now on. But here's the thing. Literally what she is describing is the current government of the United States. That's what's so funny. Like, at the end of all of this, she's like, okay, we stay as a union, right? Okay. So we're not breaking up into 50 individual states. We're not breaking up into red America and blue America. We're actually staying together. So each individual state would have its own elected leaders, according to her plan, that would then pass laws, which is literally the setup of the government now. Like, there's no difference. Red states would be able to pass laws for Republicans. What do you think is happening right now, you idiot? That's literally what's happening throughout the United States. And you're acting like, oh, look at me. I have a novel idea. It's called the United States. Imagine that. That's how stupid this person is. That's how big of a dumbass she is. She goes out there, thinks she's making this big, great, grand proposal, and in reality, she's literally describing the government that we currently have in place right this second. So, that's that. Good luck on your national divorce. Good luck on your personal divorce. I don't think either one is going to go the way that you think it is. But hey, here's a bit of good news this week, folks. I know it's kind of weird, but we finally have some good news. Rick Scott, Republican senator from my home state down here in Florida, has amended his Rescue America plan, which, of course, was the infamous plan that called for the sunsetting of all federal legislation every 5 years, including Social Security and Medicare. He took a lot of heat for that from both Democrats and Republicans because of how stupid and bad that idea was. And he has now amended it. He is now exempting Social Security and Medicare from the federal sunsetting. So Rick Scott has made it clear he no longer wants to cut Social Security and Medicare via his American Rescue Plan. So this guy, who had doubled down on it, tripled down on it up until, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, was getting hammered by conservative media, by, of course, leftist media. President Biden took even more shots at him over the weekend over it. So finally, Rick Scott caved in to the pressure and said, screw it, I'm not going to do it. That's progress. Like, they still want to cut Social Security and Medicare. Don't get me wrong. They're just going to go about it a different way. You know, tying it into yearly budgets to where they can lower the amount, which would lower the payments, lower what's covered under Medicare. They're still going to push for that stuff. But this is a step forward. And it shows that the public pressure campaigns work. It shows that when Biden calls out these Republicans on their horrendous policies, it can have an effect. But I think in this particular instance, the only reason this one really had an effect was because Rick Scott was getting hammered by both sides. Right. It wasn't just the Democrats. We hammer them on their horrible policies all the time and they don't back down. It was the fact that Rick Scott was also getting hammered by his own Republican Party, basically being stripped of his committee assignments because he's a power hungry egomaniac. He was losing everything. So he had to do something to save face. Hell, I didn't even know this, but apparently he also stepped down as the leader of the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, the Senate Republicans fundraising arm. I didn't know he had stepped down from that, but apparently he did it weeks ago. So this man has lost like all the power he had. You know, Mitch McConnell kicked him off of the Commerce Committee after he tried to dethrone McConnell. He's getting punished. He's getting hammered. He is losing, losing, losing. And so he finally had to backtrack off of something that he holds near and dear, which, of course, is making poor people suffer. Look, that's all the time we have for the free portion of today's Ring of Fire podcast. But if you want the full show every week, sign up and become a member at ROFpodcast.com.